Chill Network Radio.
Gord Starlek, Rob Simpson, NHL Network Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 91. Co-host on these airwaves of Hockey Prospects Radio and also Bon Vivant. I like throwing that out. It really doesn't mean much. But well, it covers the...
It's like saying raconteur.
Philadelphia, New York teams and all that raconteur. Yes. The one and only Russ Cohen joining Gord Starlek and Rob Simpson. How are you, Russ?
Hey, Gord. Hey, Rob. How are you?
We're great.
Hey, Russ.
We're great. You know, just we had P.K. Subban on earlier in the week, and it was interesting, his advice
He's a prospect.
We think he's going to make it. But he shouldn't have iced the puck last night, though, by the way. But anyway, his advice for Charlie McAvoy, and it sounds, I wonder if Charlie McAvoy heard the interview about, hey, if you get the chance... You know, don't, and also PK mentioned he'd had World Junior success experience, and Charlie McAvoy had a similar experience. So that's quite a storyline. Second most minutes played in the Boston Bruins win in his first ever NHL game against Ottawa.
Yeah, you knew that they were going to have to lean on him, and for the fans that wanted him coddled, it just wasn't going to be possible, right? I mean, they needed him to come through. He's a very smart kid. Like, he knows how to play the position. He knows how to play it in a really good and safe way. You saw, like, on that game-winning goal how he has a talent for keeping the puck in the offensive zone. He, even when asked after the game about facing the 1-3-1, he's like, yeah, I faced it in college. Like, it's just, you know, he's a very worldly guy for a 19-year-old, and I didn't really think he was going to have any problems. I didn't know if they would dump this many minutes on him, but he really is ahead of the curve.
Russ, I want to play a little word association here because some of these guys probably won't mean anything to you. As the season winds down, you get guys just given opportunities, right? They just kind of show up. Like, for example, here, let me go through some of these guys. Like Garrett Mitchell, he played 352 games in the American League, and then he makes his NHL debut the other day for Florida. So that's one that would have really been on your horizon. Now Tristan Jarry would have been on your What do you think there? Like, what's the long term plan? Is he the man of the future?
I think he is one of the guys of the future. I guess we'll have to see if Matt Murray can stay healthy. But I really like Tristan Jarry. He can be a workhorse at times. He's very athletic. He thinks ahead. He's one of those goalies that sort of reads and reacts, and actually a lot of talent there. So I think, you know, the fact that right now he's the backup is probably going to just help him along in his development.
Because there's this David Rittich guy who's a 24-year-old backup in Calgary. He got a chance to play a period the other day. He's a free agent from the Czech League. Now, that's a guy you're just not paying. You're not hearing about this guy, right?
No, it's a non-factor.
Non-factor.
Take a look at some of the other ones going on this series. And I'm trying to think everyone's only played a game. So I'm trying to think some of the young kids that have made – it's more been the Tanner Glasses of the world, I guess, kind of. You know, the guys that are almost forgotten that come out and get the impressive goal or whatever's needed.
Yeah, it's funny. When you do analysis, I know somebody had said on the show I was on, well, you know, to beat Carey Price, you got to have, like, snipers and a very high skilled goal, and that was the opposite of what Tanner Glass's shot was, but it found the right part of the net. Maybe even Price was surprised that, you know, he backhanded it. I don't know, but it was a great shot. Two goals in 61 career playoff games. But we often look at that. Like, everybody was, you know, wondering how great's Connor McDavid gonna be in this first game. And he was good, but he's gonna get keyed on, and it's very hard for a young player to really come through in the playoffs. I mean, Mitch Marner's goal was great yesterday, but you could see Matthews having to play center against really top centers. You know, he's 30% on faceoffs. It's a real learning experience depending on your position. On the Rangers, Brady Shea played really well. To me, I would have him on the second pair instead of Nick Holden. Nick Holden, to me, he's a game from getting benched. Like, he was horrible with these no-look passes. Rather than having him on the second pairing, I would rather him on, the fourth pairing.
The other things that jump out, well, one guy, for example, is...
Come on, Simmer, fourth pairing. Does that really exist? That was a good joke.
Yeah, it was a good joke. Kachuk, I was thinking ahead here because I'm looking at a lot of documents in front of me, handwritten documents. Handwritten Simmer documents. The Kachuk kid, you know, he plays 12 and a half. He behaves himself. He, you know, rolls around. I mean, that's one to watch, and it's an important kid that you hope can have a positive impact and keep his head about him, which I don't think he's going to have any issues.
Well, he does have a mean streak. I don't think there's a vendetta that he would have with anybody so far, but, you know, give him two or three or four games against the team, and he could build one. But it wouldn't shock me if he gets a goal or two. He's always in the right place. He does know how to play a smart game. He will get down low and play in the crease. And so I do expect him to do something at some point. I don't think that would be a shock. I mean, you know, John Gibson played a heck of a game. I think people think he's older than he is. He's still only 23. Yep. And the fact that there was this talk that maybe Jonathan Bernier was going to be the number one, I was just sort of like appalled at that, but it never really happened. And Gibson showed why he, even at 23, he could be a big reason why Anaheim goes far. I mean, that's a tough position at 23, and Gord knows about that. Sometimes with goalies, you got to go to 25 or 26 to really get the best out of them.
Yeah, man, I just was saying, Pecorini came over at 23 and had 3 years in Milwaukee. You know, before he made it up there. Now, these ones are always tough because it's the what exactly happened thing to a guy, you know, drafted and it didn't kind of play out. And that's like, that's probably 80% of the guys that get drafted. Yeah. So, but someone threw it out on Twitter just with Anaheim and give them credit for the excellent scouting. They draft Rickard Rakell 30th overall and they take John Gibson, the second round pick. And both those things they got from the Toronto Maple Leafs, who moved up eight spots from 30th to 22nd. A guy named Tyler Biggs. I mean, he was an intriguing guy, played for Kalamazoo last year in the East Coast Hockey League. And, you know, again, I don't know what you thought of him, thought of that draft pick, or if maybe they were stretching a bit too high. But what was your read on his rather brief career?
I thought that they were stretching a bit too high. Obviously, the Leafs were looking for not only toughness, but just a truculent player, for lack of a better term. But he had played with the in the U.S. system and was able to score a lot of dirty goals with his size. It's just that as he moved up the ladder, the size became less of a factor and the lack of foot speed was the big factor. And I think that's what really hurt him. You know, Rako's a great one because I always liked him. Would I have ever told you he would be a 30-goal scorer and a big-time factor? Probably not. I probably would have gone a little more conservative and said, you know, like 18 to 20. So he was a really good one. Gibson, to me, was always a no-brainer. He was just in that U.S. system, always seemed to have a lot of poise. Even when he was getting yo-yoed from the NHL to the AHL, I remember watching him in an AHL game, and his teammates just loved him, and he wasn't even there that long. So they just... Players gain confidence when you're a good goalie and you don't really panic. And I think he's got that attribute.
Biggs, by the way, 53 points, 55 PIMs in Oshawa his 1 year in the OHL. And then he just couldn't keep up in the American League.
But he went to Miami of Ohio, and it just didn't seem like a good year. And
right before that, he had a bad year.
Yeah, as far as development went.
Miami University now, Gord. They don't like to remember the old days of Miami of Ohio for some reason. I don't know why.
Okay, I'll show them the respect.
And then did anybody see Gord coming? G-O-U-R-D-E, Yanni, who like had 87 assists 1 year in Victoriaville, but went undrafted for Tampa?
No, probably not.
It's a nice pickup.
Again, guys get lost in the shuffle. A lot of times things get explained away as to why somebody may have had a big year. And they still go undrafted. I mean, there's so many players. Players will go undrafted this year. Players who went undrafted, you know, last year will get drafted this year. It's just, you know, a lot of times it depends on what happens in that year. You get injured. You have a bad slump in the playoffs, a bad second half of the season. You might go undrafted. It happens.
Yeah. Little guy, but that shouldn't really impact anybody anymore.
No, but it does still make it a little harder, depending on the system and where it is. But no, I mean, just being a little guy shouldn't be enough to keep you out anymore.
Yeah. By the way, the Toronto Maple Leafs are the poster boys for everything you said all season. 9 debuts in the postseason. Kids. That's the hockey thing.
You know, wonderful experience. That game was fantastic, but you did get the feeling that they were holding on for a while. And I knew they would maybe get one or two more chances in the OT, and they did. But, I never really felt like they were going to take that game. They were going to – Washington was going to have to make a huge mistake for them to win. And but, again, they hung with them. I mean, this is part and parcel of Mike Babcock really pushing the right buttons with these kids. But they got taken to school on faceoffs, the younger guys. Although Nylander was at 50, that was pretty good. But, again, there was – I mean, Kuznetsov was 80% on faceoffs. 80. I don't know – I don't remember the last time I've seen a guy 80% in playoffs on faceoffs.
Charlie McAvoy was a first round pick of the Boston Bruins, but of the guys, and they quite often, because everyone loves the term free agent, it just conjures up big things, but it also means they weren't drafted. And I'm just curious, some of these guys that are graduating NCAA guys that landed free agent deals, are there one or two that you particularly think may have the best chance?
Well, I Ashton Reese is definitely one to watch, but I'm not sure he's the best. I like Mike Vecchione a lot, the kid the Flyers got. They had him in camp. He won Frozen Four with Union. He will definitely play fourth-line center. He knows how to play defense. He is excellent on faceoffs. In his first NHL game, he only played 8.5 minutes, and he won seven. He was 7-for-7 on faceoffs. So this is something like where the Flyers desperately needed a kid like that. And so I think he could end up being one of the best. Now, the best one's going to be Will Butcher, and we're going to see him go the Jimmy Vesey route. And I'm not sure who he's going to sign with, but I don't think he's signing with Colorado. And so that's going to be something where if you can get a second-pairing defenseman as a free agent, teams will be lining up for Will Butcher, especially now that he's won a Frozen Four himself.
Very good, very good. I'm looking for this Yale kid that showed up the other day. I can't find who this kid was, but anyway, he was non-drafted. But I will say my favorite fifth rounder is got to be Daniel O'Regan. He's from from Germany, but his name's Daniel O'Regan, and he plays for the San Jose Sharks.
There must be an Irish section.
He's
right?
An Irish.
Yeah, he was a BU guy. He used to keep pace with Eichel and the boys, but he could score some really impressive goals, and he has some toughness. I like him. I like him. I think someday you will see him in some sort of role, probably more of an energy role.
Yeah, 23 goals for San Jose in the A.
No, he could play.
In three NHL games.
As he moves up the ladder, he may not get goals the same way, but he'll get some goals.
Yeah.
Russ, it's interesting, just different things about the college setups, and I'm just seeing that Dan Rooney passed away, and all those years ago, when he selected Chuck Noll, he actually offered the job to Joe Paterno first, believe it or not, to take over the Steelers way back when. And boy, hockey, you've had a number of things that guys, they get a good NCAA setup, and they stay there, and they become the signature guys with their programs. And Red Berenson was a guy that took a flyer at Michigan and vice versa, and 33 years later. What was it that was special about Red Berenson, the man?
He was smart. Like, I watched that press conference, and I learned a few things. You could always learn from Red Berenson. And he said when he was playing in the NHL, he was probably the only – well, actually, he said he was the only college graduate in the NHL. And if you think about it, I double-checked it with Kevin Allen, and he said he believed that was true. And then after that, he was not sure how long his career would go, so he went back for his MBA because he wanted to have something besides hockey. So he went back and he got further educated, got the MBA, and then walked into the coaching career and never left. He instills confidence in players. Like, I just remember when Carl Hagelin played for him, there was just so many players, Werenski. He knows how to push the right buttons and not let a player get too down, but also make sure they're completely responsible and ready for the NHL. And the biggest thing he would always tell guys is, especially guys that wanted to jump early, he would absolutely give them a really hard accounting of what their game was like and what it would be like at the next level for them. And I think that helped guys making the jump. And I think that's why not as many guys made the jump, because sometimes they would stay behind to get that extra year of seasoning. And I think he did kids an amazing favor that way, because it's hard to get guys ready for the NHL, but he's gotten a lot of them.
Yeah, I know a guy like, apparently, I got heard this secondhand, a guy like Matt Hunwick, for example, still would talk to him every couple of weeks. Like, he kept in touch with all the guys. Like, it's been an ongoing process.
Yeah, well, again, he's just, he's an inspirational guy. He's a smart guy. He even says he's still going to hang around. I mean, Mike Babcock called him, and Babcock said that he was kind of hoping that Berenson would hang on for a few years because Babcock believes that's one of the great jobs in hockey. And Berenson said he didn't know how to take that, but he laughed. It's just, you know, that kind of stuff is fantastic. And that just shows you the high regard that he was in. The next person in that position, yeah, that's tough shoes to fill.
He brings street cred, though, because I found the two tidbits we threw out last week pretty amazing. He still holds the single-season Michigan goal-scoring record from way back in the early 60s, and he also still is the all-time leading scorer National Hockey League among former Wolverines. And he sent 73 guys to the NHL, but when he played, he was a very prolific player in a lot of different ways.
He was.
Yep, 987 NHL games. That's a pretty long career. 6 goals in one game as well when he played with the St. Louis Blues. We'll look forward to catch you this weekend. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right, Gord. All right, Simmer.